Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Yeah! Rooster in the middle of the
fucking rooster.
Intro.
Goddamn rooster.
Damn rooster. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your week?
Busy.
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 Not fun, but busy.
Tell me.
I'm just doing like some editing
projects. Talk dirty to me.
I'm doing some editing projects. Editing projects.
Oh, that sounds boring.
Super boring. Like I thought editing your stuff was boring.
But see, I just have sound bites to go over your negative commentary.
So like, I thought NK band stuff was super boring.
But you know what? And then you started like moving your butt cheeks. You're like, dude, this guy's got some
moving
groove,
butt
man.
Cheeks.
Shit. Moving in your seat, you know?
Oh, I thought you meant like clenching my butt together.
I think you do that naturally.
I do that together. It feels very good.
So what are you editing? That you can say, that you can talk about?
No, some
you
PR
can talk
shit about. Some PR company. Like, I do it on the side to make some money. But, just like
you can say porn, it's okay.
It's snuff films, basically. I can't really talk too much about it because it's not legal.
Okay, all right.
So
it's underage.
Yeah, you know,
that's what you do to pay the bills.
What'd you do?
I went to a lot of concerts and I played one concert.
Well, I saw some post you were playing the Spectrum thing again.
Yeah. I've been doing that. I actually have a bunch of gigs booked for that. It's really fun because it's like I bring a little loop pedal. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like. It's a delay pedal, you know, like I can put delay on my guitar, and I can just loop stuff, so I can play my songs.
You're like a one-man band?
And I'm like a one-man band, and I can just play guitar solos for hours. It's great. It's like practicing, but they're paying me for it, so I
love
it. Is
the money good?
Yeah, the money's great, actually. I get paid more for that than to do some bigger venue gigs, which is crazy and obnoxious to me. But
it's because those people have like tons of money. It's like colleges.
And it's a lot of stores, I think, because
they have money a lot.
They've got money to spend. Plus, it's Irvine, Orange County. It's all the ritzy areas.
Rich old people.
Yeah. So, I just got booked for like a couple grand and doing more gigs in November and December.
That's
so
awesome.
Which is amazing, you know? So, for me, I love it because...
Do you play covers? You play your own stuff?
I do like 90% original and then one cover each set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
so,
good.
It's all...
Most of that stuff, you have to play covers and stuff.
I never do that. I never play that game. A lot of people do it, but I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do covers. And then I just play my own shit. And they're like, dude, who was that? I'm like, Sting. Sting wrote that song.
That's actually Stung. It's his cousin, Stung.
No, and I just kind of like sneak in some originals and sneak in some covers where I want to do it. And it's great. So for me, it's like killing two birds with one stone. And I sell records, too. And I get to, you know, experiment. That's what I love. It's like I'm still being creative. It's kind of like... You trying stuff out at a comedy club, that's like my time to try out like licks or crazy stupid things that I've been, you know, shedding in my bedroom.
Shedding.
Well, like
shredding,
you know,
or shedding?
Well, I say shedding. Well, I call practicing shedding. I don't know, it's a music school term.
Oh, I thought it was called shredding.
Well, no, shredding's like when you've done the shedding and now you're ready to shred.
Now you're ready to shred.
No, but
is there an audience? People stand around and watch.
Oh yeah. And the cool thing is there's people walking by the whole time. And every time I've performed there, and this is probably going on 2 years, a small group will just assemble for certain songs. And it changes. It doesn't matter what song. It doesn't matter. Like, it could be an original. It could be a long ballad. It doesn't matter. And you see, like, however people are feeling, they'll just assemble. And there'll be, like, a small crowd around. And then they'll all applaud. And then they'll dissipate. And then a new crowd will kind of form. So it's like kind of cool to see like how people react to music and what they're reacting to. But the craziest thing, one girl came up to like the middle of this little audience area and her friend was filming her and she just totally did this amazing dance routine, like a modern like jazz ballet.
Did she strip?
She didn't strip. But it was really beautiful. I was like, wow, that's fucking cool. And then she just like walked off. I was like, that was so dope. I'm like, dude, where are you going?
Here.
Yeah, come back and do that for two hours.
Show me them titties.
Dance, monkey, dance. You're terrible. She was like 16.
So show me them
titties. You just got us arrested.
No, you have to be 14.
No, so it's fun. I like doing those gigs. I do, because it also gives me a chance to try out new songs. I just added a Jimi Hendrix tune into like some of the things I'm doing, so it's nice for me to practice doing that and just, you know, do some shit that I want to do.
Plus,
I'm gonna
you add, got those Spectrum groupies.
You're gonna like this. I'm adding footsteps.
Nice.
To that, I haven't done it in a long time. Actually, our guest that I'll bring on later in the show, he actually showed me how to play that song.
Wow.
Yeah, you're gonna love our guest. It's for many reasons.
One of the great B-sides from Pearl Jam.
That's right. That's right. So
also, I have a short film that I was in, directed by my buddy Dustin Jacobs, who was a guest. It was a porn, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
He was a guest here on this show a while back when we used to be at the old location.
I don't remember those days.
The Shower Maid Mamas.
I'm just kidding.
It's the Voldemort of radio stations. Dustin Jacobs directed it, and it's actually on the Charlie Sheen movie and music network.
That's
online.
That's questionable.
And you go on there, you can vote if you like it or not. And I think there's some sort of prize involved or get some sort
that's
of
that's awesome. What's the link? Tell us the link.
You go to movieandmusicnetwork.com.
That's Charlie Sheen's network?
Yeah.
Music and Movie Network?
Yeah. I don't know how
see, how did he have
why didn't
that?
He just get everything.com? and then just go, I guess, look for the Film School channel. I guess it's under the Film School channel on that website. And then vote. In the, Jennifer Sturger was my co-star in it. Or she was the lead.
She was on
the
our
co-star.
Show, right?
She was on the
that's
show,
right.
too.
That's right.
So you can check that out and vote for it. I told Dustin I'd give it some pub.
I got to tell you this. I've been getting emails. I don't know if you're getting them, too.
I don't get any emails.
Well, I've been getting emails from actors in big movies wanting to be on our show. That means our numbers are going up. We're doing some cool shit right now.
I
did
get that one email.
You got one, but I got another one.
You got another one?
I got another one. There's somebody from the movie with the monkeys, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, wants to be on our show. Yeah.
Was it one of the apes?
I'm not telling. You'll have to wait and see.
I want an ape in here.
November.
You don't see, that would have been a perfect time for an ape sound effect.
You know, but I don't want you to just like cue my sound bites.
I totally lobbed one up, and you just went.
Flushed it all down the toilet. You know what, though? I saw the Eagles. I saw some great concerts last week that I want to talk about.
Did they still hate each other?
Dude, you
can
know
you
what?
Tell?
You could sense its sexual tension on... No, I'm just kidding. They were unbelievable. I saw the Eagles on Friday.
Where?
And I saw them at Honda Center. And then I saw Elton John on Sunday. Now, let me just throw one out there for you. Between the two, who do you think would be better?
Well, you assume Elton John would be.
You would totally assume Elton John would be better. And you know what? The Eagles were so much better.
Really?
Like, they were so fucking tight. They were so tight. Don Henley on the drums, amazing drummer.
But
like,
they all hate each other, right?
Isn't they that the
they
thing? Did.
Or
they did?
Did. Now they're
they
over.
They used to hate each
they're
other.
They're old and they don't care anymore?
Yeah. Do you know Country Joe Walsh? Do you know some of the stories about Country Joe Walsh?
No.
So he used to go into hotel rooms and just... Like, he's one of the people, like, the legends of the hotel rooms of bands going, checking in and just totally
destroying
fucking
shit.
Yeah. So he used to take an entire hotel room, and they would get drunk at night, and he would take this unbelievable super glue that you can only
get
put
everything on the ceiling. I've heard that.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, they did that in, Almost Famous. Then they do
that was modeled after Country Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
So they you know, in this documentary, I don't know if you've seen it, it's called History of the Eagles, Volume 1. I played at Sundance 2 years ago, and they debuted the film there. No, and they debuted the film there, and the Eagles were actually there to do a Q&A afterwards, which was amazing. So once I saw this great footage and got this incredible insight as to like how they got to where they are, it made me want to see them play. So they didn't play a gig at Sundance. Sometimes they do that, you know, in conjunction, but they didn't do that. So I was super excited to see it. And they modeled this tour after that movie. So they had like little bits of the movie or little interviews and stuff where they talk about how they got together. And they just talk about their songs, and it was amazing.
Wow.
Elton John was outstanding too. But I went in with super high hopes. You know, like I thought his band would be just the most
killing band.
It'd
be hard not
band.
To go into Elton John without like expecting like...
Yeah. I mean, he's still show. A legend, but he individually is unbelievable. Like, he is incredible. But his band, like, he's had the same drummer for 30 years. And, like, I was like, the whole time, I was like, God, his drummer is just like lazy. He's just sitting there like,
well, he's on autopilot.
Yeah, autopilot. Just like he knows he's got the gig. He's got no like nothing to prove, but like he had no time either. I was like, oh, this is killing me because Elton John's such a percussive player, like a rhythmic player. So you would expect him to have like the craziest, awesome drummer with him. So that kind of bummed me out a little bit. But it was amazing to hear Tiny Dancer live.
Where was Elton John? Where did you see Elton John?
He played at the Staples Center. So it was like a very classic rock weekend for me. And then I played in the middle of that, so I was like super inspired. It was fun.
Wow.
I had a good weekend. I had a good weekend. Are you getting ready for Halloween? Is your kid getting Halloween
costumes? Yeah, I think he's going to be the Incredible Hulk.
He's going to be the Hulk?
I think so.
Are you getting him the fists?
He's got the bodysuit where you have like the fake muscles and stuff.
That's awesome.
Like I think I'm just gonna keep it on him all the time. Just put clothes over top of it. So people are like, damn.
You're like, yeah, dude, milk.
Kid's killing it.
Body good.
He's killing it.
Dude, are you gonna dress up with him?
Last year I dressed up as a Jedi with him. We were both Jedis. I don't think I'm gonna be a Hulk this year. But I don't know
what I think doing. He should be mini Hulk and you should be big Hulk.
There's no such thing as mini Hulk.
Shh. Make it. Up.
I don't want to
improvise.
No.
Dude, you do stand up. Improvise.
Yeah, but you want to make it like real.
Okay, so why don't you be the chick that he's in love with?
Yeah. Chick that Incredible Hulk's in love with.
Did that kind of bum you out that he chose something that where there's no sidekick?
He was originally supposed to be Bert from Mary Poppins.
No.
The Dick Van Dyke character.
And he didn't want to do that?
Well, then he saw this really kick ass Incredible Hulk costume.
And he was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I love the Hulk.
Was he punching himself? Because
we were
face?
Both going to be.
Oh my God.
We're both going to be chimney sweeps.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, I was looking forward
so
to it.
So you got to be honest with me. You were a little bummed that he chose a character.
A little bit.
You want to be a partner.
I want to be a chimney sweep.
So can we find something? Does Incredible Hulk have any?
Yeah, I'll find. I could be another superhero or something.
Yeah, be like one of the, yeah. What is it, the Justice League? Is that what it's called?
No, you're not. It's a completely different universe. That's DC Universe.
I know. You're crossing with Marvel. Look of shame you have in your eyes.
That's,
just, right?
That's disgusting. That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
Honestly, I apologize.
That's pathetic.
Yes. So tell me, what is it called? It's called something, though, right?
The Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers.
Hulk is in the Avengers.
Hulk is in the Avengers. That's right.
It's only like the biggest grossing movie of all time.
I just saw that movie, too. That's terrible. It was a year ago, though. I saw it a year ago.
Awful.
A year ago.
Awful.
You know the last scene with all the hummus and all the pita and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That was filmed at a little hummus place right around the corner from me.
Yeah. Have you eaten there?
I have.
Is it good?
It's okay.
It's shawarma. They wanted shawarma.
Yeah, they wanted shawarma.
Shawarma.
Why? That was so random that they kept putting that in there.
Probably because Robert Downey Jr. Pike thought it was hilarious to say it. So like, let's put this in because I'm rich. I can do whatever I want.
And they're like, that sounds great. It's let's
hilarious.
Do it.
Shawarma.
Oh, yeah, shawarma. Put it in there. Yeah. Because that was never in a comic, ever. Oh, it looks like our wonderful guest is here. Ladies and gentlemen, the sexy vegan Brian Patton is joining us today. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. And a chim-chimney-roo to you, sir.
Oh, you hear that?
You hear that?
And I got to tell you something, Eddie. I don't want you to get a boner, okay? Brian is
too late.
One of the biggest Pearl Jam fans on the planet.
That is correct.
And
well done.
Every great Pearl Jam show that I've seen has actually been with him.
Oh.
Because he used to take me before he was married.
Oh, yeah. Things changed quite a bit.
Things changed.
Yeah, well, you know, the wife is way into music too, so. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I lose. Yeah, I lose.
You lose.
You know, all those hand jobs for nothing, really.
Oh, we had some good times. Come on, the Gorge.
I know your parents are listening, and they're like, dude, is that what they were doing?
Oh, you guys went to the Gorge show?
Not for Pearl Jam, for Dave Matthews.
We went to the Gorge for Dave Matthews. We went to, where else did we
Red go? Rocks.
Red Rocks.
I don't know.
You know what's really funny? Every time we've traveled together, like, we'd get off the plane, and like, we'd go to the, there'd be like a huge line for rental cars. We're like, oh man, I hope our rental car's not budget. And it'd be like, oh, Hertz. There'd be no line.
Yeah.
We'd walk up, and the lady'd be like, hey, we're out of the Ford Focus that you guys rented, but instead we're going to give you a 2016 Nissan red truck. Are
yeah,
you guys
it's like
cool
a red
with that?
Pickup truck.
Fuck yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's do that. Yeah.
So we just kept on having like luck like that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Ended up going backstage.
Hanging with
some of the guys in the
Absolutely.
Band. Pretty amazing. Yeah. So this is a very close friend of mine.
Yes.
He's actually the first, I know I embarrass him all the time by this, he's the very first NK Band fan, real fan.
Number one.
He's
number one.
Ground zero.
He's That's ground it. Zero.
Zero,
like
zero, zero,
zero,
one.
Like he opened up a magazine, just moved to L.A.
It was like this L.A. Weekly.
13 years ago.
Yeah, 13 years ago.
Yeah, you tell a story.
I moved here with one friend of mine, And we had no other friends. Nothing. No family. No, nobody lived here. So every once in a while, I would just go out by myself. My roommate was kind of a homebody. He didn't really like to go out. So I'm like,
is that Bob?
Okay. Yeah, that's Bob. We'll call him Roberto.
We'll call him Roberto.
To protect his identity. Every once in a while, I'd be like, well, fuck you. I'm going out by myself. So I would just open up LA Weekly and see what was going on. You know, and I'm in Hollywood. Like, who goes out by themselves in Hollywood?
Right, right.
This guy.
Yeah, hey.
And so cool. I opened up the LA Weekly, and it was, it said, like, acoustic night at the Crooked Bar.
Crooked Bar.
Crooked Bar.
You know the Crooked Bar.
I remember the Crooked Bar.
It was underneath the Coconut Teaser.
Yeah. That's where I had my big break.
Yeah. So that was right down the street from me. And I'm like, okay, I'll go there. And this guy was playing. You and Anthony, guitarist.
That's right.
And you didn't even have the full band yet.
Nope.
And you'd only played a couple times with him.
Yeah.
And
this is our third gig, I think.
Yeah, and it was me, your parents, and your buddy Joe.
That's right.
We both Nicky. Joe Nicky.
That's right.
So we live together. CVT to the stars. Self-serve.
He's going
to
be a guest soon.
Oh, is he? Awesome. Yeah, he's blowing up. Anyway, so that was it.
It's hilarious. And Joe's not your first fan.
Dude, Joe's a friend, though.
He was still on the face.
Joe's a friend. Like,
I was
like
a stranger from
the first real fan that you have cannot be a family member, and it cannot be a friend.
Well, then I have
or
no
a girl
fans.
You're dating.
I have zero fans.
I have about seven fans then.
I have no fans.
So I was so shocked that Brian was there. Like, I was like, and he was there. I think we did two sets, or we did like, maybe we did one long set. And I was like,
I
he sat and stayed the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, who is this guy that I...
Stop.
I got my parents, I got Joe, my buddy, and who was my roommate at the time. And I'm like, and this total stranger.
Were you like, oh my God, it's an agent. It's a music agent. Oh my God. There's a record label here.
You the big joke.
I didn't think I looked like agents in my Birkenstocks and cargo shorts.
And he was like just chugging them down.
I was lonely. I was depressed. I had no friends. I was out in Hollywood by myself on a whatever night that was.
So he came and I was like, dude, would you like to sign up on our email list?
Yeah.
And he was like, sure. He signed up on the email list.
Of course, just moving to Hollywood, I don't know what that entails.
Of course.
Okay,
and then he ended up coming to our first band show, and then he started coming to other bands.
Well, what happened was that maybe a month later after I saw them, we chatted because they covered a Dave tune, so we chatted about Dave.
That's right. That's right.
And then a few weeks later, I lived right by the Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And you were working at the Guitar Center.
That's right.
So I went in to buy strings, like in the acoustic section, which is where you worked. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're the guy. And I just saw it the thing.
That's
like
a month ago. I forgot about that.
And then you were like, yeah, I just got this full band together. We're playing
Knitting Factory is our first
band.
All these places are gone.
Yeah, all right.
I know, it's sad.
All these places are gone. So that's how it sort of sort of developed. And I'm like, okay, I still have no friends, so I'll go to this guy's show by myself. And so we became friends and like...
Well, I kept on seeing him.
Circle of friends.
That's right.
I'm still friends with all those
people. Dude, that's the best part of it.
It was really cool of you to sort of take me under your little
brown wing. Well, I saw, like, you told me you just moved.
Yeah.
You told me you were from out of town. You told me that, you know, I think you said it was just you and a buddy and your friend.
Yeah.
I think you even told me, like, yeah, he doesn't go out that much. Because I was like, how are you here by yourself? Like, how did you hear about this?
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are you going to kill me and wear me?
But I was so shocked at that stage, like, that a total stranger would just come to our shows. Because at that point, you know, I'd done enough promoting for the first two shows to know, oh, there's no strangers that are going to come to your gigs, you know? So then when I started seeing him coming over and over, I remember I was in the car with Dan. I'm like, dude, I'm going to totally make sure that he starts hanging out with us.
Look at that.
And so I went up to him. I think it was at the, what was the venue? The Tempest?
Oh,
I can't believe I just remembered that. It's the Tempest.
Where was that one?
Monica and in between La Brea and Fairfax. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And it was an acoustic venue. And I was like, dude, hang out with us. We're going to go to like an after party or a post party
or
dinner, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And from that point on, we've just been good friends.
Yeah.
And so...
And we started going to concerts together.
And I also... I'm going to give you a big kudos now.
I'm ready.
I would always play new songs for Brian and be like, yo, tell me what you think. And he'd be like, dude, this is cool. I like this. And then one time, we jammed on a song called A Song for LA that had not really been written. Okay, so he and I were jamming on it, and he plays guitar. He's a great guitarist. He's a great singer. He can play his ass off.
Not good
he's
enough
modest.
For your band,
hey, there's enough guitarists in the band.
That's what I'm saying. It's not good enough for your band.
So we started playing, and then like I told him, hey, man, years later, this is maybe like 4 years later, I was like, hey, man, remember that jam that we were doing on A Song for LA? That's going to be on the new record. And he's like, oh, my God.
And then he sued you.
No, he right? sent me a recording that he made. Did you make it on your cell phone?
No. This was before that, the ability of cell phones to do that. I remember we were sitting at my computer. You were at my place, and you had that little
riff.
And then I had
another riff.
I had another riff, and it was like they had just worked together. Like
they were perfect.
Yeah,
they
that riff perfect. Was...
And that's what it's in the
same key and everything,
love.
And yeah, a little.
And it was badass. I mean, literally, yeah. It was badass.
Musically, you made love musically.
we made love musically.
So I brought up like some like ghetto ass like 4-track, yeah. like some sort of recorder yeah. on my like Dell PC from like 1998, whatever it was, and we just recorded it really quickly. And I just always had that.
And I forgot about it. And I think you even forgot about it too.
I did. And then when I heard the song on the album, or I saw you play
it
somewhere.
No. It was before because you sent me the song.
Oh yeah.
And then, I was recording like a lot of the guitar parts around then, and I listened to his recording, and I put his part on the song.
Yeah, my part is on there.
I'm so like, dude, cool. I'm gonna record that part that you did for the song
yeah.
because. It's so badass. So in the choruses of the song, mm-hmm. Brian Patton
is actually recorded.
I played. I had to learn what he did, and I put the exact same part.
Does he get royalties from this?
No, unfortunately.
Wow! Holy sh! That's just
another cold hard fact I learned from living in Hollywood.
God damn it! God damn it!
Hey, that there's three easy on the goddamn.
He took advantage of a poor.
Well, because Nikhil's always railing against the poor artist that doesn't get paid. And then I find out he's part of the problem.
Hey, if we wrote this song together, it'd be totally different. So, anyways, my first sax player in my band had a vegan catering company.
Yeah.
And Brian was... He was learning to... You were learning to cook?
I was like a home cook for a long time.
Okay.
And then I found myself unemployed, as some people might do. Occasionally.
I know the feeling.
It happens.
Or more than occasionally. And so I like to cook, and I thought, hey, let me go try to do this as a job. Let me see what that's like. So I got this job in this little like cafe. It was in Culver City.
It was next to the NFL.
The NFL Network. It was right when the NFL Network started, and it was in their building. So we were like the little restaurant for the NFL Network. So it was cool. I was like into football, all these football players in there. Anyway, so that's where I was sort of just learning how to cook in a restaurant situation, how to run a kitchen, all of this. And then Dan, they had this vegan home delivery service. It's called.
Wait, you're skipping a step. So, like, Brian knew that I love sandwiches. And he's like, oh man, you got to try this turkey. I was like, man. He's like, what kind of sandwiches? He's like, I'm like, I love turkey sandwiches, man. I love turkey sandwiches.
The turkey pesto with
that's
the cranberry.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah, he was like, you got to try this turkey pesto cranberry.
That's right.
Sandwich that I make.
That's what we make at the restaurant.
Then. So I went to his restaurant and I brought Dan with me,
right.
who had no idea that you cooked.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, dude, let's go have lunch at Brian's place and check out these sandwiches. So I think you made something vegetarian for Dan, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so Dan was like, dude, I didn't even know Brian cooked. And I'm like, and I was like raving about your sandwich. I was like, God damn it, that sandwich is so good. It was so good. So then Dan asked you to join his company.
Yeah, Dan, because they were just doing it like in a really small scale, like out of their apartment or what, him and his brother who were running this company. It was very small. And they wanted to, Dan wanted to try to,
What are you trying to break our share?
The equipment's attacking you.
I'm Italian, you know. I talk with my hands. I knock shit around. Right. Anyway, so long story short, Dan was like, "We want to get out of the apartment. We want to get into a commercial kitchen. Hey, can we rent this? Can you talk to the owner of this place you're working at? We can rent it Sunday nights when you're not cooking." I said, "Sure." So they ended up renting our kitchen, They're like, "Hey, why don't you come work for us?" So you know, the delivery service is like a weekly, so you only cook one night a week. You cook Sunday, deliver on Monday. That's people's whole meals for the week. And it's still – I'm the executive chef there now, and it's called Veggin' Out, and we deliver
– What's the website?
It's vegginout.com, V-E-G-I-N-O-U-T.com, and we deliver a full week's worth of fully prepared meals, and I'm the chef who makes all the food.
But wait, you skipped over a lot of good steps. So Tim, Dan's brother, was the original chef.
Right, right.
And then Tim got married, and he was like, I'm going to move up to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I think he sold the business to Dan, right?
Dan, like, bought him out. Okay. Eventually.
So Dan was like, dude, you're a great chef. Why don't you be the...
I mean, there was really no choice, because it was Tim, and it was me, and we would do the cooking.
Hey, that's 50%. So, you had a 50% chance of failing right there.
So Tim left, so then it was just me. So I'm like... okay, I guess I'm the guy.
But the cool thing was, too, is, and I remember this, I was just talking to, I think, my mom about this. So Brian was not a vegetarian
when
he started working at a vegan catering food company.
Right.
So once he took over, did you do it after?
No. I did it within the first maybe 6 months or so of working for them. I was really in bad shape. I had many problems. I smoked cigarettes. I drank all the time. I was about 260 pounds, something like that.
So Nikhil's music didn't get you out of this funk.
No. It sent me deeper in. Well, when he screwed me over on the royalties.
Yeah, I would imagine that probably put you into a spiral.
He never recovered.
I never recovered.
That was a spiral you couldn't get out of.
You can look at it on my Behind the Music.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river.
That sound haunts me. I have a 1 year old.
Screwed out of your royalties,
sorry,
so he starts drinking into oblivion.
So
he needs broccoli to save him.
I did. So anyway, and I just thought I would become vegan for like a month, just to get a healthy kickstart, and then I'd start eating meat again, and eventually just make better choices. And so after a month of being vegan, I felt pretty good. I'd lost a couple pounds, and I thought I could do this another month, and then that just kept going. So 10 months later, I had dropped like 60 pounds.
Wow, what were you?
Well, I was about 260.
That's what you said.
Wow. Yeah, 260. So 10 months later, I was 200 pounds. I thought, wow, I haven't felt this good in a very long time, and I didn't realize how shitty I felt all the time. So it was really convenient that I was working for this company. I had access to the food. I knew how to cook for myself. It's really important when you make a transition like that you're prepared for it.
Right.
So you should know how to cook for yourself. You should know where you're getting your vitamins and minerals and nutrients and protein and all this. So it was very successful, and I felt great. But then, not to be a downer, but you can't help but come across the ethical aspect of veganism. When you're in this transition period, you're looking at vegan recipes, and then you see, here's like a video of animals in a slaughterhouse, and then sort of that whole ethical thing.
Sorry, it's terrible.
They still taste really good.
I never ever said that all this didn't taste good and doesn't still actually smell good, but there's just a lot of attached to it that I eventually, once you kind of peek down that hallway, and you see like this other world that you didn't even, it's like the Matrix. It's like I got pulled out of the Matrix, but I'm not eating like shitty food like they did. I still have good food.
Are you still wearing the black leather jackets?
No, the faux leather.
Nice.
No. So anyway, that's the story. I became vegan, and then... And
you're still vegan.
I'm still vegan. I've been vegan for just hit 8 years.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, and then in that time, shortly after I became vegan, I started doing these like little cooking videos. Like I just did one. I was going to do one because it was in 2006 and my friend was telling me about YouTube. And I was like, wait, you could do what? And you could say fuck? What? This is awesome. I have to do something with this. So I was like, I'm going to do this dumbass vegan cooking show. I'm going to make guacamole, and it's going to be sort of a parody on the cooking shows that I watched all the time.
Right.
Just irreverent and using potty language. And at one point, I was like in my shower. It was just total randomness. And it was just one episode. I thought, my friends will laugh on the East Coast, and that'll be it. And then it just got featured like on one of the YouTube's pages, not on their main page, but like on their how-to page or whatever. So it started getting like 1,000 views a day. I'm like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
And I'm getting comments, negative and positive.
Well, yeah, it's YouTube.
Yeah, it's YouTube. It's YouTube.
Who the fuck is this guy? Kill yourself. Yeah, seriously, I love meat.
Basically, And it was called The Sexy Vegan, and I was this chubby, like I hadn't lost all the weight yet, so I was chubby. My hair was ridiculous. I was pasty. And people were like, you're ugly. Like... I don't want to be vegan if I am going to look like you.
Seriously?
Dude, the internet's horrible.
Anonymity gives people license to do whatever.
It's because people are cowards.
Yeah.
Cowards indeed. And
let's laugh at those cowards, shall we? Just want to take a little bit
long. It's too long. It's still going.
And scene.
It's a little bit long of a soundbite. So then, of course, people were like, do more videos. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. So then I just kept doing these videos over the years, gained this following, got myself a little MySpace page.
That's right.
May it rest in peace.
It's 2006.
Yeah.
I miss you, MySpace.
Dude, I have to say, I've watched a lot of these videos. Eddie, first of all, they're right up your alley because they're super funny.
Ah, thank you.
There's a lot of Jedi references.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes.
And there's a lot of lightsabers in the video.
Once I figured out how to build a lightsaber in Adobe After Effects, I was...
Dude, you have to teach me that.
It was actually kind of easy. It was this plug-in thing, but it's...
But there, it's dope. It's like all the videos are really funny, and he's
and they're very lo-fi, like.
But they're They're actually like pretty hi-fi now, right?
But yeah, I haven't done them in a video in a while, just because I got this kid that I'm supposed to be taking care of.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, right. I like the chimney sweep though. That's a good one. I like that.
Chim chimney.
And anyway, eventually, this out of the blue, this book publisher contacted me and said, "Hi, we're a book publisher."
Yeah.
Feigned interest from the crowd.
Our studio audience, you can't see them, but they're here.
Book publisher said, "Hey, we saw your videos. You want to write a cookbook?" And then, well, first I had to research and discovered, make sure this person was real and not like one of my idiot friends, like Nikki.
Here, I wrote a book. Psych! Ah, you assholes!
Yeah.
You do all the work.
8 months of my life.
It was indeed a real person from a real book publisher, New World Library, and they said, "Hey, write a book." I said, "Okay." And then I had to figure out how to write a book, and I wrote my first cookbook, and that did really well. And then this one that I brought you today is my second cookbook, Sexy Vegans Happy Hour at Home. The first
small
one,
plates, big flavors, and potent cocktails.
Potent cocktails. That's right. That's
good,
right.
Man. Yeah, good man.
So that's the story.
So tell me how you came up with these recipes. Oh, I see some Indian recipes. I love this.
I do a samosa pizza in there.
Dude, are you serious?
So basically this recipe book, it's called Happy Hour at Home. The way it sort of originated, well, after the first book was done and it had sold well, it had been about not even a year, it was like 6 months or something. They really got back to me about doing a second book really quickly. And they said, "Hey, do you have any ideas for another book?" I said, "Of course I do."
Absolutely.
And so then I had to go and make up a bunch of ideas real quick and then email them back. But one of them was something that I had been doing with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. We were living together, and we had this little balcony. We were in West LA. We had this little balcony that just overlooked like our crappy little side street. And every Friday night, I started just, instead of cooking like a big dinner, I just did these like small plates, like little, like, I don't know, like hors d'oeuvres or tapas, you know?
Right.
And that started just like, It was a Friday one time, and I didn't have anything really substantial, so I just took a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, made some little, you know, tapas, and then we sat outside and drank some wine. I was like, "Oh, this is like a nice, like, romantic thing. Cool, I'll keep doing this." So then every Friday, I would get home usually about an hour before her, so I'd have time, and I would just do these little small plates, and sometimes they had like little themes or whatever, so that's sort of where that came from, and it was nice. It was like, "Oh, this is like cute little romantic thing that we do." And then she started like bragging to her friends about this thing that we were doing, and they started to be like, "Well, where's our invitation?" Yeah.
Right.
So now she's starting to like book people. Like, we can only fit four people on her balcony. So you know, Jen and Rob are coming over this Friday. Brandon and Stephanie are coming over this Friday. And soon it became a job now for me. Now I had a job.
That's below average. That is a big fail.
Yeah, give me a sound effect.
Yeah, hold on. No fair.
God damn it!
That's right.
Did you at least get some money? No,
just that last little bit at the change at the end. That's how much I got.
But when they showed up,
"I'm here for the gangbang."
That was on Thursday night. That was on Thursday night.
Tapas and a...
"I'm here for the gangbang."
So you just were cooking for your friends.
So then I would just be cooking for my friends every Friday night.
Were they vegan or vegetarian?
No, nobody's really vegan. Okay. None of my friends really, except Dan, a vegetarian.
Is your wife vegan?
She's like pescatarian, so she'll eat fish sometimes. And eggs and cheese, but at home basically it's all vegan all the time. Even my kid's vegan.
Wow.
So
you're cooking for these parties.
Yeah. Oh yes.
And what kind of stuff were you making?
Like the stuff that you see in the book, like little sliders, or you know, just simple things like some grilled mushrooms with asparagus, or you know, little stuffed dates, and I don't know, just a variety of things. And so when the book publisher said, "Hey, any more ideas?" I said, "Yes. How about this one?" about that. I've been doing this happy hour at home, and they said, we love that idea. Let's do it. So then I developed all the recipes, you know, some from which that I remember just that I was throwing together at the time. And then I created a bunch, you know, just specifically for the book. And they wanted to do cocktails, so I got a bunch of, like, creative cocktails in there. Some of them with, like, fresh vegetable juices. Like, the one on the cover there, that's called the Bloody Vulcan.
Nice.
And that is, you know, a Bloody
Mary. How did you come up with the name?
Well, because, I'll tell you, because the Bloody Mary is, you know, tomato-based.
Right.
This is tomatillo-based. So it's green, and it's not a Bloody Mary, it's a Bloody Vulcan, because Vulcans have green blood.
We knew that one. Good. Good for you.
Good job. Give yourself an applause.
Good for you.
Applause yourself.
You know what?
Good for you.
You guys get this. You just sound like a bunch of angry cats. Yeah.
Thinking the Incredible Hulk's in the Justice League. Yeah. You're an idiot.
What happened to the magical connection that we were just having, guys?
Seriously.
It just went by. It just disappeared. So anyway, so yeah, that's the Bloody Vulcan. So it's juiced tomatillos. It's tequila. It's agave. It's lime juice. It's really refreshing and crisp. And
you
this
stuff
totally
looks
make,
amazing. Hey. And I love that you took, like... Did you take a look? You took some pictures. That's not your picture. I know that.
No, that's a stock photo, but the photographs of the food are taken by none other than Dan Boise.
Nicely done, Dan Boise. We used to call him Damn Noisy.
Damn Noisy, yes. So the same Dan who hired me at Veggin' Out is now like a photographer. And,
that's right.
And so he did all the photos. Unfortunately, they're not in color, but there is a gallery on my website where you can see all the photos in color. It's very expensive to print color.
That's so lame that they didn't print it in color, because it would add so much to
it.
It
would.
But you know what? The food, I'll tell you this, the food looks so good, like this fresh corn and jalapeno salad, which I can tell you right now, that looks scrumdiddlyumptious. That looks good enough, whether it's color or black and white. Seriously.
Okay.
So
all right, well, I appreciate that.
It's pretty awesome. Now, let me ask you this. Part of the reason we do this show is to showcase people like yourselves. Okay. People like that are doing things creatively that Hollywood needs to know about.
Ooh, okay.
So tell us about your creative process when you're coming up with a dish.
Inspiration comes from a lot of different places. It could be, you know, wanting to recreate something from my childhood, or, you know, I love Indian food. There's a place, Samosa House
I love
West,
that place. Yeah.
In the Culver City place. I eat
Have
there.
You been to Mayura?
Was that now?
Oh, my God.
No. I haven't.
I'm going to plug the best Indian restaurant. This is coming from an Indian.
I love Samosa House.
A Canadian Indian.
I'm telling you, it's better than Samosa House.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Right. It is non-vegetarian and vegetarian, two separate kitchens.
I like that.
It is Jonathan Gold's, one of the 100 restaurants in L.A. to go see.
Well, where is this located?
It's right on Venice and Motor. It's called Mayura.
Oh,
Mayura.
Got it.
Go there and tell them Nikki sent you, but you're going to want all vegetarian stuff.
Yeah.
And the food will just blow you away.
Interesting.
Very good.
Cool.
Very good food.
So anyway, you know, I love eating at Samosa House, so I'll develop, I developed a recipe for the book. It's toasted chana, which is, you know, like these chickpeas.
Yep.
So it's using a lot of the same spices that they have with chana masala, and it's sort of this, like, crispy, crunchy toasted chickpea snack with a lot of those same flavors. Also, the samosa pizza that I have in
that
there.
That sounds awesome.
So
by
it's
the way.
Basically the seasoned potatoes that would
have you
be...
ever had a samosa, Eddie?
I don't know what that
samosa
is.
Samosa is a it's sort of like an empanada. It's got this flaky crust.
It's like a puff pastry.
Yeah, it's like a puff pastry.
With spicy potato and peas.
I have the palate of a 4-year-old. So, like, really, like. There's like four things.
And
like
the penis size, yeah. Too.
I have a penis size of a hung 4-year-old.
Of a light switch.
Just hung 4-year-old.
Anyway, so, you know, samosa pizza. I took the chapati. I took the chutneys. I made those sort of my sauce, and I put the seasoned potatoes that would be inside because I didn't feel like making the pastry and folding it together and deep frying it. It's a lot. So this is a way to get all those flavors. And
that's a great idea.
And to have,
that's a great idea.
And to have it be easy, because that's one of the things in the book is that all
the recipes have to be easy.
They have to be easy because there's like menus. So there's like the three little dishes for each menu. So they have to be simple and they have to be quick. And I reuse the ingredients in several dishes. Like, it's really also meant to be a lesson in how to be efficient in the kitchen as well. There's these efficiency tips and things like when you're looking at a recipe, you should start with this, you know, and then do – and then –
You are struggling
that damn pop filter. It's like you're picking a fight.
Pop filter.
Damn you,
anyway,
microphone.
So it's just the.
Oh,
you need better aim with the finger.
I know. Damn it.
So, anyway, that's how the, you know, that's one example of how I would come up with the recipe. Deconstruct something. I took a samosa, I deconstructed it and made it into like this pizza sort of thing.
And so, what other cuisines? Like, are you using Thai food? Are you using? Because those are the cuisines for vegetarian food that I love. If I lived in India, I probably would be a vegetarian as much as I love.
I mean, the spices and the flavor profiles that are used in Indian cooking, I love it so much. I love all the cool different ingredients that they use. So I have some Korean stuff in here. I have some sushi rolls. I have
any Vietnamese?
Some Italian. I do not have anything Vietnamese in this book, but I do on my website, on my blog, thesexyvegan.com.
Oh, I'm just saying in general. In general.
Yeah. I do this tofu banh mi. You know what a banh mi sandwich is?
Yeah, of course I know what a banh mi
sandwich is. Banh mi sandwich, for those who have palates of four-year-olds, is a...
no idea what you're talking
about. It's served on a French baguette.
Got that.
And I know it's Vietnamese.
That's a roll.
It's Vietnamese served on a French baguette. There is a historical
logic to that. So you take a Vietnamese person, put them on a French baguette.
Good start. Pickled vegetables on top of the person.
And a little lone wolf. Just to even it out.
Normally it's like pork or some sort of meat. But I do this marinated tofu and it's pickled daikon radish, pickled carrots. And
lemongrass,
cilantro. The tofu, the meat is seasoned with lemongrass most of the time. And then there's like the spicy mayonnaise sort of sauce and cilantro and jalapenos, and it's just put onto this crusty, beautiful goodness, and it is one of the best sandwiches. And I do like a panini version of that.
Is that in the book?
That's not in the book.
Damn it!
It's on my website, though. It's on my website. All right. And I did do a video for that. So there is a funny video associated. It's called the Banh Mi Nini because it's a banh mi panini.
That's awesome.
I always make things like we're stupid.
No, they're not stupid. They're actually clever. That's one of the reasons I wanted you on the show, because you're doing so much with the Vegging Out business, with the Sexy Vegan cookbooks, and you're also, I know one of our friends hired you as a personal chef for an anniversary
for his
dinner.
His wife's birthday. Yeah. For his birthday. That's right. Joe, we were just talking about, like a few months back, he wanted me to come and cook a little private dinner for them.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Did you get a $20 gift card to a movie theater?
$30.
$30 gift card to a movie theater. Cream,
which I don't eat. Which is still more than the royalties that I received
from
Nikki's song.
God damn it! Fail. The check's in the mail, bitches.
I do private dinners. I'm building a website now for like personal chef. I want to start doing some more personal chef. I do private gigs here and there for dinner parties and things like that. So...
Well, let's talk about your websites. Where can people find you?
So I'm at thesexyvegan.com. Basically, that's my blog, my main hub, and there's links to all my social media. I'm basically the sexy vegan pretty much everywhere.
I was a question about different diets. I've been trying to go more of a low-carb type of diet thing. I just want to know what the health benefits were of veganism compared to just
not... Well, I'm not a nutritionist, but just overall, veganism, first of all, when you're... removing...
Because it sounds like a horrible disease.
It does.
Right off the bat.
It does.
Right off the bat, I'm scared of it. Like, at the end of it. I'm just scared of it right off the bat.
Yeah. So you're not getting... When you remove animal products, you're not getting all this saturated... it's a cow. Additionally, all the hormones and everything that are, fed to the livestock, you're not getting... all the antibiotics and all of this type of thing. You're also not getting the cholesterol. There's no cholesterol when you're eating vegan because...
Where are you getting your protein sources?
So you get your protein from many different places. Many vegetables, most vegetables have some sort of
like
protein.
Broccoli has a lot.
Even broccoli has protein. I mean, you'd have to eat a ton of broccoli to get the amount. I mean,
Do you supplement with protein supplements?
I don't do any protein supplements.
You use soy,
but you got beans. You got, like, there's a billion different kind of beans. You get it from whole grains. You get it from quinoa. You get it from dark leafy greens, seeds, nuts. It's protein is in everything. And as long as, like, I don't pay attention to it myself. Right. I just know that I'm eating a wide variety of whole vegetables, whole
nuts
grains.
Nuts and stuff?
Nuts, seeds, all this.
What about calories? Because you need... There's not as many calories in
vegetables, right? Is like you would say you get like a steak or something like that to sustain, like what you do for energy, like you know, other like nuts. I guess.
Get enough. I don't know. I don't pay attention. Clearly, I'm not slim. I get plenty of calories.
Well, I'm rock hard right now, looking at you. So,
well, you got your own thing going on.
That's my thing.
Yeah, but
you want me to leave? You guys seem to have a connection.
Yeah, let's pull this shades
down. I'm here for the gangbang.
So anyway,
I'm just curious about these different diets that people go. Like, where do you find ways to supplement things you're taking out?
Yeah, you do. You know. You get everything. The only thing that I supplement is a B12 supplement, because B12 is a bacteria that basically grows on rotting flesh, which is what which is essentially what meat is. Do you have a sound effect for that?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So that I do take a supplement for vitamin B12. And that's it. And okay. I just, you know, I'll have a smoothie in the morning. You have your fruit so that you get fiber. You get your leafy greens, you know, berries.
And let me ask you an honest question. Do you ever miss chicken or steak or burger or anything?
At the very beginning, I really just wanted a turkey sandwich, like in my first like month or two of being
vegan. That damn turkey sandwich you made. I still think about that turkey sandwich.
So that was really it. I don't know. I don't have any desire to eat a steak or eat a chicken or eat bacon or, I do make things that are analogs of, you know, I do try to recreate like a fried chicken cutlet, you know, because that's kind of fun to play with food and try to, recreate things that you used to eat.
Right.
So I do, because a lot of times people are like, well, if you don't like meat, why are you trying to make like fake chicken or why are you trying to make this? Because it's fun. Because I still like the way things
taste.
And
it's also the consistency. Yeah, it's like you want that texture. You know?
Some textures, you know, you're interested in having. Some textures, if you want to make a certain dish, it needs a certain texture. So you find different things that make this texture, and you find different ways to do it. And that's what's fun about it. So it's not like when someone's like, well, if you don't like meat, then why are you trying to recreate it? It's because I like the taste of things, and I like the texture of things. I just don't want to eat the meat, and I don't want to contribute to this factory farming and all of, all of this.
Have you been to a restaurant called Crossroads?
Oh, yes. Crossroads is great.
That's a great, like, you wouldn't even know it's all vegan. It's so
high end. It's probably, you know, the most gourmet of vegan restaurants that we have here in LA.
Right.
Chef Tal Ronan, who used to be Ellen DeGeneres' personal chef, he opened it up. It's great. It was really delicious. I haven't been there in a while. I was there like in the first month that they opened, and things that hit were really awesome. Things that missed, I was just like kind of whatever.
Right.
But it was early. It was really early on, so I don't want to say like from everything I hear now, it's phenomenal. So, and the things like I said, the things that I thought were good were really really good. So I definitely want to go back there. There's also so many great places in LA. You
got Real Food Daily.
I'm okay with Real Food Daily.
Yeah, tell me some better places.
Okay, Crossroads is fantastic.
Yep.
Gracias Madre, all Mexican place. Just opened up in West Hollywood within the last 6 months or so.
Okay.
Awesome. There's the original one is in San Francisco. They just opened the one down here. The same people that own Cafe Gratitude, which is another vegan/raw vegan place. But Gracias Madre is fantastic. You also got – there's a place in the Valley. It's a little crappy strip mall, like – you wouldn't think you would drive by and you're like, I'm not stopping in that place because it's just like it's like shady. It's called Vin Loy Tofu, and it is an all vegan Vietnamese restaurant.
Oh, that sounds
good. The place is ridiculous. It is so good. It's on that list.
Okay.
That you just mentioned, the
Jonathan
top 100.
Gold? Yeah,
it's
top
100. It's on
okay.
that. It's phenomenal.
You're gonna have to text me that place.
Yeah,
Vin Loy Tofu.
That's one of my favorite places. We got Sun Cafe in Studio City, part raw, part cooked. Excellent, excellent.
Have you
chef
been to Vegan Thai on Main Street? I think that's what it's called.
Main Street.
Santa Monica?
No.
I think it's called Vegan Thai. That's one of my favorite.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't been. I don't live in Santa Monica anymore.
Every now and then, about once every 2 weeks or once a week, if I can, I'll go vegetarian or completely vegan.
Of course
it's just healthy. Feels good.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you got Veggie Grill, which is more like fast food vegan, you know, like Gardein chicken cutlets and stuff like that. Gardein is a company that makes chicken cutlets, fake chicken cutlets. So, you know.
So they're not a garden or a chicken.
They're
just liars.
Yeah, they're just lying.
Being group of liars.
So you got that. I'm trying to think what else off the top of my head.
Let me ask you a random question. Like, okay, let's say you're on the go. Because all these things are, you know, like everything's really kind of there's preparation for vegan cuisine generally.
Generally,
so let's say you're on the move, you got to make something fast, like an equivalent to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What would you make for a vegan quickie meal?
Probably like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because that's vegan.
There's no meat in that, Nikhil.
Well, I'm just saying, like what else?
Any
like,
other sandwich you could have made, as an example, except a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Well, that's not high in sugars, or, you know what I mean? Like a healthier sandwich.
Right. You know, I would do a wrap. I always have raw vegetables around that I could chop up really quickly, throw into a wrap. I have, a salad is a quick chop things up, throw them in a bowl. Throw some oil and vinegar. If you're really fast and you don't have time to whisk together your dressing, just oil and vinegar and you're good to go. I'm trying to think a bean salad is great. Open up a can of beans, drain them, rinse them, throw some chopped veggies in there, a little bit, some sort of dressing, and you got like high protein. You throw vegetables in there, you got fiber, you got vitamins, you got minerals, and it's great, super fast. So that's, you always keep canned beans around. For things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find your book? Let's go through all your websites real quick.
Wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all these places online. And again, you can just go to thesexyvegan.com, and there you have all my links to my social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and beyond, all these places. And
give us all those. Give us all your websites.
It's thesexyvegan.com, then it's Twitter.com/thesexyvegan or at thesexyvegan. You got Facebook.com/thesexyvegan. Just everywhere is thesexyvegan. Search for thesexyvegan anywhere. I'm the only one.
You're not hard to find.
I'm not hard to find.
You're not hard to find.
If there's sexy and vegan in title, that's he's right. there. Yeah. He's the man.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. I also have a podcast that I do. It's called Sexy Vegan Ray Didio. There's me making words.
What, are you trying to compete with us?
Yes, I am. I am, actually. I talk about like all things L.A. and music. And I'm just kidding. That's what you do.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, really?
That sounds like a lot like what we do.
Yeah. No, I interview cookbook authors, chefs, things like that. You find it on iTunes, Sexy Vegan Ray Didio, iTunes and Stitcher.
Awesome. All right, well, Brian, thank you so much for being on our show. Absolutely. It was such a pleasure to have you on.
Totally.
Eddie, I hope you start taking some of these vegan.
I'll probably never eat any of that food, but
you may be surprised. No. Yes.
I know me.
By next week, you're going to be vegan.
Get Finloy tofu. It's right here.
Next week, Eddie's going to be like, dude, I just went to my yoga class, and I'm vegan.
I'm good. I'm good, but thank you. Very interesting anyway.
Well, thank you all for listening. We are Wake Up Hollywood. Brian Patton, the sexy vegan. Let's give him a round of applause. We didn't play one applause track. The entire... Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Seriously, our studio audience. Oh. Standing ovation. They love him. They love him. They love him. They love him. Brian, you're a wonderful guest, and we hope to have you back on the show. Keep us posted as to what you're doing, new cookbooks and whatnot.
Sounds good.
We'll see you here next week, Eddie.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.